And so he writes these words. He pens them in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting at verse 9. He writes this: "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart." This passage is clear. It tells us that we are better together. We live in a world that says otherwise. There is a radical individualism that is infecting not just our society, but that is affecting our church, which says, I can be a believer without going to church. I can be a Christian without needing the body of Christ. I can grow in faith absent of fellowship. And this is what we see, and this is what we hear in the church today. But this passage tells us otherwise, and as you can tell, my application today will be on the church and our need for the people of God, especially you who will be, you graduates who will be leaving home, perhaps for the first time, whether to college or to grad school. This is specifically for you. Why? Because it tells us, this passage tells us quite simply, this: two are better than one, right? Can't be any plainer than that. Two are better than one. And it gives the reason in verse 9, because what? You can get a better return, or more can be accomplished together. And then the author, the preacher, cites three examples for us, three specific examples. And the first is in verse 10. "For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion." So in essence, the first illustration tells us that more can be accomplished together when? In time of need. If there are difficulties, it is easier if you have others with you. Think about those who run. Once upon a time, I did run cross country. I know you can't tell now, but it did happen, I promise you. And it was easier, what, to run when? By yourself? Or if you had someone else to pace you? And so that when you were tired, you would just follow their pace. It is easier than running by yourself. And I remember once in cross country, I fell and I hurt my ankle. I sprained it. If I was all alone, no one would be there. But because I ran with a group of people, my teammates carried me the last half mile because I couldn't make it on my own. And this passage is an example of that. And then it tells us, right, conversely, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. This is why, brothers and sisters, that two are better than one. When you're in trouble, when you're alone, who's there to help you? On my trip to Ohio, I sat next to this lady. She had come to California for the wedding of her niece, and she was a widow. And we shared and we talked. She asked me why I was going to Ohio. I told her I was going to the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. And she replied to me, "God bless you, because when my husband passed away, I didn't know what I would do if the church wasn't there for me." You see, two are better than one. She realized that if she were alone and that had happened to her, she did not know how she would survive. But she said that her church prayed for her. Her church supported her in her time of need so that she could heal from this grief. The church was God's arm surrounding her with love. So, brothers and sisters, more is better. To be together is better. And then he writes this: furthermore, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? In essence, that together there is support and mutual benefit. And again, I think back to us as a church. We are sizable as a church. We have 1,800 members together. There is much that we can do together. When we raise money for Nepal, the latest figures are we raised almost $40,000 for Nepal. When we had Lottie Moon offering, we raised over $300,000 in December for the month of Lottie Moon. But you know, we join and we are part of the Southern Baptist Convention. And together as a cooperation of churches, over 50,000 churches, in fact, we can do more together than if we were by ourselves. Together as a convention. This is so cool. Take a look at this. As a convention in the area of the Great Commission, the SBC sends 4,800 units, basically singles and family, overseas through the International Mission Board, and the same amount of home missionaries through the North American Mission Board. So we have 10,000 missionaries on the field. Why? Because we work together. We can't do that on our own. It's not possible, even though we, as MBCLA here, we're sizable. We have financial means, but we could never send 10,000 people. That's more people than we have in our church. But we can do that together. Not only that, we have now the Baptist Global Response, which connects people in need with people who care. The people in need are those suffering from acute problems, such as disasters, wars, epidemics, as well as chronic ones, including poverty, hunger, poor health. The people who care are Southern Baptists who want to be involved in making a significant difference in the lives of needy people worldwide. We couldn't do that as a church by ourselves. We could raise the money, but then we need to send that money to people who are out in the field. Brothers and sisters, we have people out in the field through our convention. So together as a cooperation, a collaboration of churches through the SBC, we can do more. We can do more together than we can apart. And this is what this passage is telling us. Brothers and sisters, there's more that we can do together than apart. And then lastly, in this passage, in verse 12, it tells us, and if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. We had a special speaker at the convention. I don't know if you all recognize the name, but his name was Kevin Cochran. Anyone recognize the name Kevin Cochran? Let me tell you his story. Kevin Cochran self-published a 162-page book last year entitled Who Told You That You Are Naked? Aimed at helping men overcoming feelings of guilt over past sins. And it defines in this book sins in terms of sexual perversions as the opposite of purity, including sodomy, homosexuality, bestiality, and so forth. Now, Cochran is a deacon and Sunday school teacher and Bible study leader at his church, Atlanta's Elizabeth Baptist Church. But he was also the fire chief of Atlanta. And once they heard that he had published this book, he was suspended for 30 days without pay, and ultimately he was relieved of his duties. And so he was at the convention, and he said these words, I'm not angry, but I understand that being a follower of Jesus Christ means persecution. So it's not that this surprised me, but that this is to be expected of all believers. And then he writes, or he says, I know that I'm not alone because God is with me and the church is my support. You hear those words? He is not alone. Why is he not alone? Because he is part of the church of God. And so it is his church who supports him. The church is God's extension here on earth to support, to love, to bring healing, to have fellowship, to have accountability to individual believers. We are better together, brothers and sisters. There's no doubt about it. We are better together. And this passage tells us this. And this passage ends by this saying, a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Again, reiterating the simple fact that we are better together. To you graduates who are out there, who will be attending colleges and schools around this country, it's easy to just stay on campus. Perhaps you have a strong fellowship like InterVarsity, Campus Crusade for Christ, Asian American Christian Fellowship. Those campus ministries are outstanding. They are great. But brothers and sisters, they are not the church of God. Too many times I've heard people who go to school and say, I don't need to go to church because I have my campus fellowship. I don't need to go to church because to be a Christian, all I need is God. I don't need the church of God. I don't need fellowship. But if you read Scripture, that's not what Scripture tells us. But the passage that Grand read for us, it's true, isn't it? In Proverbs 14:4, it not only relates itself to children and rearing children, but it relates itself to associations, to relationships. Again, it states, where no oxen are, the manger is clean. You get two people together, potentially, there's going to be problems. In this church, you have 1,800 people together, there's going to be problems. In our convention, you get 50,000 plus churches together, there's going to be some disagreement. It's easier to be by ourselves. It's easier to live by ourselves because there's no one who's going to argue with you. If you want to eat something, you eat it, right? If you want to see a movie, there's no one to ask, what movie do you want to watch? You see what you want to watch. There's a book that you want to read, you read it by yourselves. You don't need to wait on anyone else. Or like today, later on, before lunch, the question always asked is, where are we going for lunch? If you want Mexican, you go eat Mexican. If you want to eat the church food, you go to the cafeteria. Right? There's no dispute. But this passage also tells us, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. Right? Together, although it's messy, the church is messy. There are disagreements. There are difficulties. But we are better together, brothers and sisters. And this is what this passage tells us in Ecclesiastes. We are part of God's family. Once we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we are automatically a family of believers. We are tied together from every believer's past, present, future. The Bible tells us we are tied together. That's why we have all these gifts in the church, because not one person has all the spiritual gifts, but together as a church, we have them all. And if you're not part of the church body, what happens is that you lack and are missing. just like these 12 families who stood here. They can't raise their kids on their own. They can, but they're better if they raise them with all of you in this church family. This passage is clear. It is simple. It is powerful. It tells us, brothers, that two are better than one. And though the world tells us that we are individuals, and surely we are, that we don't need anyone else, that's the lie that we do. We need each other. We need fellowship. We need accountability. We need to be edified. We can't do this by ourselves. Brothers and sisters, there are no such things as Lone Ranger Christians, but there are thousands of Christians isolated, either because of pride, either because they don't understand what Scripture says, but they are not growing in their faith. Graduates, don't make that same mistake. If you leave this area, find a place that you can call your spiritual home so that you too can grow in faith, that you too can be that person that God wants you to be, because you can't do it by yourself. It's impossible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, because it tells us, Father, that we need each other. We're reminded of the words in Genesis when Adam was alone and you proclaimed to him that it is not good for man to be alone. And that was even prior to sin entering the world, because you made us as people to have an innate desire to fellowship with one another. We need other people in order to grow in faith, to do anything significant in life. We need each other. And we thank you, Father, because you give us the church, that once we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are now tied together as a church family. And so we thank you, Father, for this church family here at MBCLA. Would you use us for your glory? Would you use us, Father, so that you would be exalted in this city, in this nation, in this world? And Lord, I thank you for the graduates this day. They have put in much time and effort, sweat and tears into achieving what they have. But I especially pray for those who are leaving us. I pray, Father, that they would not forget the sweet fellowship that's found in church, that they would not be too busy for you and for the church, that they would not think, Father, that they would not be prideful to say that they do not need anyone but themselves. Father, I pray for those who graduate that you would bless them, that you would protect their hearts, that you would guide them and steer them away from temptation. But even when they face it, Father, that you would help them to stand resolute and firm in your word so that they would not stray from you. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this celebration of you, because you bless us with so much, and this day is an indication of that. We thank you for the children you bless in our lives. We thank you for the fathers who are here, who sacrifice so much and carry such heavy a burden. We thank you, Father, for our graduates. We thank you for this church. We thank you, Father, for loving us, for not giving up on us, for not forsaking us, but for redeeming us, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In all this we pray in your Son's most precious name. Amen.